And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And what he did was he did not rescind the four commandments. What he did was made them concise for us so that we focus on the singularity of God, because God is love. And what we want to do is love God like Jesus loves God. Totally focused, totally engaged in every waking moment. Now you may say that's an impossibility. Well, nothing's impossible with God. We just need to surrender ourselves to that. It may be awkward at first, but our total being needs to be resident 24/7 in the Spirit of God. Amen? And then he said, the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And today I would like to focus on the second commandment, loving our neighbors as ourselves, which is the last six commandments of the Bible. These are God's standards for his people. And Jesus made it concise for us to love. If we love God, we should love each other. And in those commandments, the first one says, honor your father and mother, for with this is a promise to live a healthy, prosperous life. Six is, you shall not murder or kill. Seven, you shall not commit adultery or fornicate, have sex other than God's prescribed measure. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And we see this in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is sharper than any sword, two-edged sword. It's able to divide the soul and the spirit. Each one of these essentially gets to the crux of the matter with us. For each one of us struggle every day with some sort of malady that the Spirit of God is bringing forth. You see, if we don't love God with all our heart, our mind, our thoughts, how can we love each other? These commandments are how we're to relate to each other. And Jesus simplified it and said, to love. But some of us are holding on to grudges. Some of us think more highly of ourselves than we should. Some of us had started off in the spirit and are walking according to the flesh. All of us need Jesus. All of us, including myself. As I walk with the Lord more and more, I find how incapable I am. I need him to stay in a proper perspective to things. Do we love people the way God loves people? Do we? Answer is no. And you can measure that by just flipping your Bible over to Matthew 25:31-46. God's standard. He shows us succinctly how we love or how we should love. Do we associate ourselves with people in our little circle because we love them and we want to serve them? Or is there another motivation behind that? What I can get from this person, or how I can influence this person? Or do we just love them for who they are? Appreciating their gifts and talents and loving them. I know when I was a young man, I used to think about unrealistic expectations that I put upon people because I had them upon me. And God said to me, real simply, I don't have a standard that I put on you. Why should you put that on them? Do you love them? And when he called me into the pastorate, all that took on a more profound meaning for me. Because, let's face it, you guys are something else. It's going to take love to love you, because sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Yeah. Why do we even bother coming to church? You see, the scriptures are real replete. It's not to be read one time and then we raise up our flag. We've read the Bible through one time or two times. Now I can stop. Reading the Bible is good, but it's not good enough. You need to study the Word to show yourself approved by God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to consider what God is saying to us as we ponder what God is saying. And I can't tell you, I mean, you saw my first Bible. Every time it seemed like God was putting his fingers into a certain area of my life and I couldn't stand it. It's like, how can I do this, God? And God says, by my spirit. Didn't Zechariah say it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit? And that's why it's important for each and every one of us to walk in the Spirit. If not, we're missing something. Do you sense something within your spirit that you're missing? An ingredient. It's not a formula. We sang about freedom. And Jesus is trying to tell us that the way to freedom is to love. It's not to focus on what that person did to me. It's not to focus on things that I feel is important. We should always look at it from God's perspective. And all of us need to be quick to repent, because all of us get ensnared by that temptation. What are we doing? What's the purpose of church? The purpose of church is to worship God with the very understanding that in worshiping Him, He wants to impart Himself into us more and more. But we don't even give Him the chance. We don't even honor Him. So how are we going to honor one another? See, it starts with God. Without loving God, we're not even smart enough to realize that we're in need of here. And this salvation is every day. Jesus said, take up your cross and die daily. It's putting down your thoughts, your assumptions, your intentions, your motivations. Because these six commandments teach us how to relate from the very root causes, which is our minds, our thoughts, our feelings. They don't matter. If we're running around because we're feeling good or we feel the power of God, we lie to ourselves because it's not based on our emotions. Coming to church is a free, if we're free, we will exchange the poison that is within us and give it to God. He in turn gives us more of Him, eternal life, love, so that we can go out into this world that needs to see that Jesus is alive. through our love. And streams is walking this out each and every day. But we're not perfected, or else we would be taken out onto heaven. We must be fully engaged with God so we can be fully engaged with each other. I've heard it said, you know, I just don't want to share some of these things because my life is private. Okay. Was Jesus' life private? No. Did Jesus hold on to anything that would negate his love for people? No. He realized that none of us are perfect, although we think we are, which is an error. We need to repent. As we fully engage God, he focuses on the stuff that he wants us to surrender, thus making us free. John the Baptist put it, he must increase, I must decrease. Who's running your life? Is Jesus Lord of your life, or is he just Lord? Why aren't we doing the things that he said? He said, if you love me, you'll do these things. And you know, Gary, being a young pastor, is realizing that when God gives a message, he actually tests us first. He actually wants to realize that our hearts are imperfect. And as we stand before you, we're tested first. So that we can give what's holding us back from God to him, so that you can receive more of God through his word. Is Christ increasing in your life, or is he in a holding pattern, or is he not even in your life? Do you walk around, well, I'm saved? I pray for you guys. I really do. Because salvation should not be a one-time experience. Salvation is something that we need to walk out. I do not believe in the Calvinistic thought, once saved, always saved. I believe in the Arminian belief that you're only as saved as your relationship to God. And if you don't have a relationship, today's the day that you can come to know Jesus. That's the good news of it. We can come to know Jesus even deeper than what we've known him right now. The choice is yours. You see, when we come to church and we give the death, all those things that are poisoning our lives, all those assumptions, all those things that we think are important, and we give them to God, he gives us his life, eternal life, summed up in love. And the more that we focus on him, the more we give to him. The funny thing is, even this week, God is working deeper into my heart, into areas where I thought I had surrendered. But he's not done with me. And he's not done with you. My Bible says that he is faithful to complete the work that he has started unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? See, it's not a matter of keeping these laws. It's a matter of loving people, that these laws, if I love people, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love people, I'm not going to conduct myself in a way that has an attitude towards parents. I'm not going to conduct myself except to love. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to bear false witness. You see, love is the core of things. Why do we lie? Because we're afraid. We're afraid of the truth. Don't be afraid. Our mission statement is our vision statement. Who can tell me what that is? Sad. Sad, it's right out front. Six words. Love God. Love people. Love life. If I love God, I'm going to love people. And if I love people, I'm going to enjoy life. We made a whole principle of church with six words. But in those six words, wholesome came out. Identity with Christ. Gifts. Our pledge to Jesus Christ. And many other things that we have given to you guys to remind you. But I doubt very much that we could even find those handouts that I have given out or Pastor Gary's given out. Do we love God? You just don't understand, Pastor. I understand a lot more than you think. I just don't comment on it. How many of us understand that the creation of this world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed? Romans 8:19. For what purpose? For what purpose? That we go to church and we sing hallelujah and praise God? No. They're waiting because the love of God motivates us to be involved, to engage people, to invite them to become part of the kingdom. Your life doesn't have to be put all together before you start speaking to people. You just need to be obedient to his leading. And Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what he said to Saul. What has God been saying to you that has put a fire in your heart, that Satan has filled you with fear, and you have not been obedient to that which God has called? I could tell you. God's told me. I have a relationship with God. I don't have a religion with God. I talk to him, he talks to me. And when he talks to me, I better be listening. I better be doing those very things that he says. Because when he speaks, he expects us to hear him and obey him. Some of the fundamentals is how does God speak to you? Does he speak to your mind? You see, if God speaks to our mind, we're in error and need to repent. And I agree, he speaks to our heart. And I've broken this down in such simplistic ways. God speaks to my spirit or to my heart, which enlightens my mind to the truth or the will of God that motivates my flesh to accomplish my will, right? No? No. To accomplish whose will? We're here to fulfill his will. But it all starts in where does he start to speak to you? How he speaks to you. A lot of us got ourselves into a lot of trouble assuming God spoke this, and so it's a great idea, and it's not working out. Let me give you a little key. If we're in something that's originated from our mind, do you think that's from God, or do you think it's from the enemy? Because in our mind is our mind, will, and emotions. Where does God speak? To our spirit. We should be practicing that each and every day as we get into the Word. We listen to what the Spirit of God is trying to tell us. Now, how does that, in practicing those four simple steps, how does that work into worship? When God speaks to my spirit, He enlightens me to His reality. I am focused on God. I want to know what God is saying to me. I am so focused on God that when He speaks and says, I want to take such and such from you, He doesn't demand it, He asks. He's a gentleman. What is God saying to you that you're over and over and over stumbling on in order to get to the next step? See, God's about maturing us. And some of us think that, well, pastor's old. He doesn't need to worry about that. I'm old because sin has caused my body to decay. But I'm still doing things that God is saying for us. And I want to exhort you guys to examine yourselves to first see if you're in the faith. And then begin to start putting this practice together. As I surrender to things that God wants from us, guess what happens? You change. I'm so focused on God, I'm not worried about anything. He fills me with His eternal life, which is in my spirit. He just fills me. And as I stay focused on Him, He erupts out of me to enlighten my mind as to what the purposes of God is. He speaks to me. And then when He speaks to me, I say, yes, Lord. But that's not the end of it. What He has done, He has given us great protection within the church. You see, we think that we're solo. I hear God and I can just do whatever I want to do. He has given us elders in this church, not to boss anybody around, but to make sure that you're hearing correctly from God. Church government. 101. God, His representative authorities. If you're not submitted to the authorities over you, you're not submitted to God. It's that simple. And I don't mean to get your skirts in a tizzy or anything, but it's the truth. I want you to grow up. I want you to be all you possibly can be in God. You just think that all we're here for is for the Great Commission. I'm here to tell you that your life has eternal consequences now, but when we go into glory. God has a plan for your life eternally. That's why He wants you to grow up. When my spirit enlightens my mind to comprehend His will, I should immediately focus on God's will, not my flesh. Well, I just don't feel like doing that. I don't feel that was God. Feelings lie. God is always truthful. Always truthful. All Our obedience is imperative to our growth. The more we are obedient, the more we submit those things that God says. I mean, last week was tremendous. People were finally beginning to use their gifts in such a way that, yeah, it's not that we're demanding this. What we're trying to do is when you submit something that God has given to you to an elder, it is protection. Why? Protection of you not allowing the enemy to abuse your gift, and also not to be presumptuous that it's for the people of God now. Many of you have seen it many a times that Gary has submitted things to me, and I have said, no, you, that's not for right now. And it's okay. But when the timing is correct, I say to him, this is what God wants you to say now. Guess what? It happens. And for the correct effect that God wants. It may be the word of God, but it may not need to be presented to him or to your people. If we do not submit to the authorities above us, the burden of God becomes a reality to us. It's kind of like, and the only way I could put it is, remember when you were dating your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and the thought of being separated from them, not seeing them, not talking to them, began to consume you. I wonder what they're doing. Oh, how important are they? Well, your eyeball. But it consumes you to a point that it causes you not to eat. It consumes you in such a way that you lose sleep. It consumes you so much so that if you do not do the thing that God says, what happens is our heart grows callous. We don't hear from God. We don't do what God has said. And I've said that I see many of you fivefold ministers. I simplify that because I do see it. But you have to go through the process. Just like I had to go through the process, or Pastor Gary is going through the process to become even a better pastor. None of us can escape the process. And if we do, we try to take a shortcut or something, it's to our harm and eventually to the harm of God's people. Do you ever find that when you're out, that people, for some reason, just come up and speak to you? And they're telling their whole life story? And you're standing there like, what is this person doing? It's the anointing of God on you, in you, emanating from you to draw them to Him who is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants us to grow up. Matthew 28, Jesus said, and they saw him and they worshiped him. The first thing that happens is they come to recognize and worship God. The first thing. But some doubt it. And that's okay. I've had a question, is it all right for me to doubt? Yeah, it's okay. It's not okay if you're in unbelief. Doubting and unbelief are two separate issues, and we could talk about that later. All authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age. I feel like Paul, when he talked to the church and said, at this time, you should be teaching others. You have been in this, and you should be teaching others. But we're not. We're not teaching others. We're not sharing God with other people. We're not making disciples of others. If you've been here a week, you can disciple somebody. It doesn't mean, well, you know, I've gone to cemetery and I've learned all this Bible stuff. Paul said he counted as dung going to school and learning all this stuff. It's the way of the Spirit. Who is it that God wants you to reach? Who is it that God has been saying to you, you need to do such and such? What is the passion of your heart? Well, God can't tell me what to do. It's my life. I can do whatever I want. Well, you got to stand before Him before judgment. And all of us will be judged. Well, that's not true, Pastor, because after all, you know, we're going to be judged for rewards and stuff. Yeah, I don't want to just have you stand there just to receive salvation. I want you to receive the crown of glory. I want you to receive an abundance. That's my heart as a father of a church who wants more for his kids. I stand like John the Baptist. Here's the bridegroom. Come on, let's focus on the bridegroom. I'll just step back as you're relating to him. Last scripture, Mark 16. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news of all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes or serpents with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is Jesus saying and talking to us. First of all, are you his disciple? Are you obedient to what God has said? Or do you have a false sense of education that it's only the pastor and the elders that do this stuff? I don't see any delineation. I see disciples. We're all disciples of Jesus. When pastor makes a declaration, it's God wants a declaration. He's called the church to pray. The church. Where are you? Well, you see, I got these activities that I got to do. Who's more important, the activity or God? I'm busy. I work 12 hours a day. Yeah. I work 16 hours a day. It's not a competition of how many hours. It's whether you're going to be there. I was talking to a prophet in a setting in ceremony last weekend. And he said, what are you concerned about the most? I said, I'm concerned that this generation doesn't have the zeal for God. I want to be where God is. If it's a setting in, I'm rejoicing with my brothers who are setting in elders into his church. God's church. But it's like we have options. And I said, we don't have any options. You will stand before just like I will. And I want to exhort you. Where are you? Repent. Get it under the blood and do the things that God has enlightened your heart with. If we're afraid of our spouses, you need to get over it, because the fear of man brings a snare. I listen to God before I listen to my wife. Sometimes God speaks through my wife to me. That's the truth. I want to know what God is saying. I want to know what God's doing. I want to know God more and more. Jesus has given his power and authority to all who believe. What is power? What is authority? You have been given power and authority to wage war. Waging war means we find out what we're being trained in, and then we kick the teeth of the devil in. The first step to warfare is prayer. We want to know what God is communicating to us from heaven to earth. You should be wanting that too. Not to be pretentious or I really don't have to be there. They know. Unless you're sick or on your dying deathbed, we don't want you here. But if you're sick and be here, we'll lay hands on you, because the scripture says you shall recover. But you gotta believe that God is able. And God is able. Just not through your strength. Are you assimilating God's standards? Do you love God? Do you love God enough to love people? Do you love people the way God loves them? God said to me, I'm talking to tell him about hospitality. He says, hospitality isn't who comes to visit. We can all be hospitable for a few hours. Hospitality is really someone living with you 6 months, a year. Well, in Holly's case, half that she's lived with someone. What is God saying to you? How can the rest of us help you become all that you can be in God? See, that's what the church is for. To protect you, but also to release you to do what God has spoken to you. The war is not over. And I exhort you, let us unite in prayer. I can remember going to prayer meetings, bringing my kids so that they would hear me speaking to God, or the people of God speaking to their father, so that they would learn how to pray. Well, they're my kids. No, they're on loan to you. They're God's kids. Right? They are. We treat them the way we treat God, with assumptions, presumptions. They'll get it when they're older. They'll know God when they'll make a choice for God. I had a person say to me, as I was witnessing to them, and I was talking about their daughter, and I said, what about your daughter? Oh, when she's old enough, she'll choose God. I said, she won't choose God. Why? Because you're not teaching her about God. You see, our first disciples are our children. Doesn't Deuteronomy say, train up a child in the way they should go? And when they grow old, they shall not depart? I think that they are influenced overly by all the electronics that's out there. I do. We pay more attention to the stupid electronics, thinking that's more important than hearing from God. And I know that the Bible's on electronic devices. I get it. But I'm not going to apologize. We should know the Word, because the Word should be living in me, living in you. How real is Jesus to you? Let me read a short letter that was written. It says, I have a problem. Father, I have a problem. It's weighing heavily on me. It's all I can think about night and day. Before I bring it to you in prayer, I suppose I should pray for those who are less fortunate for me. Those in the world who have hardly enough food to eat. Those who don't have a roof over their heads at night. I pray for families who have lost loved ones in sudden death. For parents whose children have leukemia. For many people who are dying from brain tumors, and hundreds and thousands who are laid waste with other terrible cancers and diseases. For people whose bodies are suddenly shattered in car wrecks. For those who are lying in hospitals, agonizing with burns over their bodies, whose faces have been burned beyond recognition. I pray for people with emphysema, whose eyes are filled with terror as they struggle for a breath merely to live. For those who are tormented beyond words by irrational fears. For the elderly who are wrecked with the pains of aging and only escape is death. I pray for the people who are watching their loved ones fade through Alzheimer's disease. For the many thousands who are suffering the agony of AIDS. For those who are in such despair that they are contemplating suicide. For people who are tormented by demons of alcoholism and drug addiction. I pray for children who have been abandoned by their parents. For those who are sexually abused. For wives held in quiet despair, beaten and abused by cruel drunken husbands. For people whose minds have been destroyed by mental disorders. And from those, everything from suffered loss from floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, and earthquakes. I pray for the blind who never see the faces of loved ones they love or the beauty of sunrise, whose lives have been taken from them today by murderers, for those wasting away on their deathbeds in hospitals. Most of all, I cry out for the millions who don't know the forgiveness of Christ, for those in a moment of time will be swept into hell by the cold hands of death and find that their utter horror, the unspeakable vengeance of eternal fire. They will be eternally damned to everlasting punishment. Oh God, I pray for them. Strange as it may seem, I have forgotten what my problems is. That's what prayer is supposed to be. It's not about us. It's about us being used of God in such a way to meet the needs of people who are hurting. You are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You're not here by mistake. God has given you the words. Not only to comfort you, but to comfort those who need comforting. But the choice is yours. You can believe the lie that you're a volunteer and you only volunteer what you feel like getting into. That's a lie. You volunteered the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And what you did in that moment was say, Lord, you can speak into my life, anything and everything, so I may touch the world for your glory. We have been here now going on 8 years, right? This ministry has existed since 2001. I think it's about time we stop focusing on our navels and the fuzz that's in there and start focusing on Jesus Christ. Cultivating that zeal to be where God's people are. You see, we're coming to the end of this age. And I want to be standing there as he hands out the rewards that I could say, that's my disciple, that's my kid, God, that I influenced. As he gives you the crown of glory. And each one, we're not focusing on what we could have, should have, and would have done, but what we did do to bring him glory. It's real simple. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Let's do this together. I'll give you the words and you say it with me. Lord, I surrender my heart to you. You are the captain of my soul and the Lord of my life. From this day forward, I repent of my disobedience to you. Whatever you want in my life, I surrender to. Not my will, but your will. I want to glorify you, Father, for every day that you walk with me in this life. I want to accomplish your will no matter what. In Jesus' name. It's just a rededication. Simple. Doesn't have to be verbose. But the bottom line is, you've repented. You've got it under the blood. Now seek God and find out what it is that he's saying to you. And the way you find that out is, what are you passionate about? God has put that passion in you. And then bring it to the elders. And let's see what we can do to make that vision that God has put into you a reality. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for their attentiveness. I thank you.